It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
It wasn't a perfect campaign. There is no such thing. But I was on the way to winning until the combination of Jim Comey's letter on October 28th and Russian WikiLeaks raised doubts in the minds of people who were inclined to vote for me but got scared off. Did we make mistakes? Of course we did. Did I make mistakes? Oh my gosh, yes, you know, you'll read my confession and my request for absolution. But the reason why I believe we lost were the intervening events in the last 10 days.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That was Hillary Clinton just a few weeks ago with an interview with Christiane Alanpour and claiming that it was James Comey who caused, in part, her to lose the election for President of the United States. And as a matter of fact, it seems as though that the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, believes that James Comey, according to the letter explaining the firing, that James Comey stepped out of the bounds of his job as FBI director, took on the mantle of the Justice Department, and made a decision not to prosecute Mrs. Clinton while publicly revealing some of the evidence against her, unprecedented, and that was the reason cited for firing. And that's why last night, while you were enjoying your evening, a letter went out from the President of the United States that said this: Dear Director Comey, I have received the attached letters from the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General of the United States recommending your dismissal as the Director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. I have accepted their recommendation and you are hereby terminated and removed from office effective immediately. And it goes on to say other things. It's a very short letter. It's a very strong letter, kind of a gut punch. Director Comey was speaking to the FBI agents, two FBI agents in Los Angeles, allegedly did not get the word. It came up on the screen behind him as he was speaking. He laughed about it, and then I guess it wasn't funny later, but he is now gone. That's what we've been hearing about for the last, 12, 16 hours? And I've asked J. Christian Adams to join us, a Christian good friend, formerly with the Justice Department, whistleblower. And, of course, he's the author of Exposing the Racial Agenda of the Obama Justice Department and knows all about the workings, the inner workings of the Justice Department, which, you know, it was Attorney General Sessions and the Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein who wrote the letters that prompted the firing. And so Christian joins us this morning. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning. Good morning, Sandy.
Listen, I know you've been busy. I've already seen you on Fox this morning. But I have Christian... I think we both agree this is probably a good thing, but I want to ask you, what is the significance of this, just in light of all that's happening in this country right now? What is the significance of James Comey not being the director of the FBI anymore?
Well, look, I think the biggest significance, and this is something you probably haven't heard many places, so maybe it's very unpopular, but I think that the biggest significance is that this is a message that Trump is a different kind of president. I mean, look, he fired Sally Yates when she didn't listen to what he wanted to do. He fired James Comey. It sends a message that this president doesn't care about what the Washington Post opinion page says or what that guy on CNN named Wolf says or the Washington establishment. He's going to do what he's going to do, and the bureaucrats in D.C., need to realize that this is a different era. This is not the era of, compassionate Republican governance where, deference was made to the swamp, to the bureaucrats. And it's a different world. And I think that is probably an overarching takeaway from this firing that goes beyond the particulars of the events.
I don't want to get sidetracked, but I do just want to quickly ask you, I assumed, but I don't have your expertise, that Sally Yates, it was a justifiable firing because she defied him on the immigration order, defied to implement it, and that is her job. Is it not? Am I understanding that correctly, Christian?
Well, that's what's interesting. Not entirely. I mean, you know, the Attorney General, as you've seen, and she was the acting Attorney General, is not necessarily responsible. There's supposed to be some independence. They don't work they're not just an extension of the president's policies. Yes, they kind of are, but they kind of aren't. And so the Attorney General, if they think something is illegal, is supposed to stand up and say so. And Trump basically said, you're fired. It's not illegal to protect the country by preventing travelers to go unvetted from certain countries. And so he fired her. And look, this is different from how any other Republican would have behaved in office.
And Christian, as we've discussed many times before, the Justice Department is filled with enemies, really, of the Trump agenda and enemies of what the people, I think, thought they were getting when they voted for Donald Trump in terms of promises. There are people, so many people, hundreds in the Justice Department working against him. What kind of a signal does that send to them?
Well, it sends to them that he is not going to be restrained by the Washington Post, the New York Times, CNN, Wolf Blitzer, NPR, that those things simply don't matter to him. And he's going to act as he wants to act as the elected president of the United States. And that's such a refreshing change, Sandy, because as you know, so many Republicans in Washington care more about what the Washington Post says about them or the New York Times says about them than they do what the grassroots base says about them. And so that's what's refreshing about this firing.
Christian, on the matter of what Comey, the letter says he's being fired for, of course, you and I both know that when people are fired, certainly CEOs should know, that anybody listening must know that you have to give a reason and a valid reason, but it isn't necessarily your only reason. But back to the matter of this reason, we know, we could pretty well conclude that Loretta Lynch was never going to bring charges against Hillary Clinton. She was the one who met on the tarmac with Bill Clinton totally inappropriately. That did put Director Comey in a bind. What should he have done? He comes out, he lists all the grievances against her, and then says they're not going to charge her. What should he have done?
You know what? I got to tell you, I've defended Comey's actions for the last 7 months or 8 months or however many it's been. And I got to tell you something. What's fascinating about this is I just told you, I got done telling you and your audience that this is a sign of it's not business as usual. But what's fascinating is when you actually read the memo from Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who, you know, they're basing this entire firing essentially on his memo. It's a deeply institutional establishment memo, right? So you have a president who's willing to buck the system and fire somebody, but at the same time, the administration is using a memo to fire Comey that looks like it could have been written by a bureaucrat who's been in the department for 45 years, you know, praising the institution and, you know, all of this inside the Beltway stuff. So it's a really fascinating sweet and sour mix, if you will, of events in the last 24 hours.
What possible reason do you think? I mean, if you were to justify or excuse Comey for not investigating the leaks of Flynn's information to the Washington Post and the Politico, of his conversation with the Russian ambassador, the investigation of the leaks of Trump's conversations with foreign leaders. He seemed to be so laissez-faire about that. What possible explanation for that, Christian?
Yeah, bullseye, Sandy. And that's why ultimately I think this is a good move, even if the reasons given by that memo that I just talked about were pretty thin and bureaucratic. And that is that Comey was unwilling to put people in prison who were violating federal law. I mean, that's what it boils down to, whether that be Hillary, whether that be the leakers, you know, whether it be the failure to investigate voter fraud all around the country. You know, the FBI hasn't brought a single case of voter fraud, charged anybody under federal statutes, even though we've given them, my organization, the Public Interest Legal Foundation, has given them the names of individuals who have committed federal felonies, who are non-citizens, who are registering to vote and voting in presidential elections. They've done nothing with it. And so just like in not doing voter fraud prosecutions, not investigating leakers, not prosecuting Hillary, he dropped the ball on a lot of fronts.
Were you kind of startled when he said in his testimony a couple of days ago, when it was brought to his attention by Patrick Leakey Leahy, who is well known for his past leaks of classified information in committees when he was in the House. He's asking Comey about the alleged information that Rudy Giuliani might have had about the Clinton email investigation. And on that issue, Comey was very exorcised. I'm very concerned about that. I want to get to the bottom of that. The irony of that really struck me, is not willing to find the leakers of this classified information, but whoever might have talked from the FBI to Rudy Giuliani, who is, at least an American patriot, about the Clinton email investigation, that he's upset about.
Yeah, that's the problem, is a lot of the public statements seem to be evidencing an agenda of law enforcement that skews toward Democrats, where, if it's a Republican being targeted, let's talk a lot about it. If it's a Democrat like Hillary or Huma Abedin, who clearly seem to be violating federal statutes, we'll start to read in words into the law that don't really exist, like the word intent, that we have to prove that they intended to hurt national security. I mean, it seems to be a situation where James Comey was not only willing to dial back investigations against Democrats, but he was also willing to talk about it publicly. So he had this double whammy of seemingly partisan law enforcement and a willingness to go public with it.
Well, Christian, let's look ahead a little bit. They're already saying that Andrew McCabe will be the acting director. Andrew McCabe, we don't need to spend a lot of time on this, just to say that his wife received, $700,000 from Terry McAuliffe to run for Senate, that his wife is a partisan, Andrew McCabe is a partisan, a Democrat, and then Andrew McCabe was the one charged with investigating Hillary Clinton's email. It's totally untoward, unacceptable. So we don't know what's going to happen with McCabe. But the second part, who do you think, who in your own sphere of knowledge and information do you think might be a likely successor, a good successor to James Comey?
Well, it's got to be somebody who actually has done criminal investigations, not managed them as politicians, but actually done them, because, there's a learning curve. And I don't have any names that I'm going to throw out, but some of the names I've heard are essentially politicians, and that's not a good thing. It needs to be somebody who gets their hands dirty and knows how to get their hands dirty, to work on the machine. But, McCabe is a real illustration, Sandy, and I keep telling folks this. The swamp is not being drained. The swamp is alive and well, and the bureaucrats who lean left and are Democrats are everywhere through the administration. They are running the government still. And that's why Comey being fired by the president is such a big deal, because it sends a message. I don't care what institutions would have protected you in the past, whether it's the Washington Post, the Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee. He doesn't care. You're gone. But that's in part because the Democrats and the partisans in the bureaucracy are still running the show. McCabe is just another example of inside the Justice Department. It is essentially just like it was during the Obama administration, except you have some key political appointees who don't let them go crazy, okay, who will eventually fire somebody if they get too out of line. But that's not an ideal situation. That's not why we had the election. We didn't have the election to just slow down the lunatics. We had an election that wanted to get the lunatics out.
Yeah, and I think that's probably one of the big disappointments for me in the way the Trump administration has handled things so far. They will do these bold moves that I think are a step in the right direction, which I think Comey's firing absolutely is, and then they stop short of actually doing what they must do to rectify this and to set the ship aright. So it'll be interesting to see what happens next. J. Christian Adams, thank you so much for your time this morning, Christian, and again,
okay,
for service.
Care.
We'll talk to you soon. All right, coming up next, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer is going to talk to us. I'm going to ask Tony about the FBI Director Comey's missteps on terrorism cases. We're also going to talk about these. Yesterday, there was a meeting in the White House between General McMaster, National Security Advisor, and Trump, and there were talks about perhaps McMaster being fired. That's an interesting story, too, that's kind of taken a back seat to the Comey story, but they're interrelated, so stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
You know, if you see a huge group of people and they're all in line waiting to do something and they're all happy about it, don't you wonder, okay, what's going on? What am I missing here? Why are these people so excited? In this case, it's thousands of people doing the same thing. They're joining MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses. It's that simple. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993, so they can handle your healthcare expenses too. With MediShare, you get affordable options to fit almost any budget. For most members, MediShare is about half the cost of other healthcare programs. You should at least check into it. This may be one of those things you start doing and then wonder, why didn't I look into this a long time ago? What was I thinking? Don't miss out. You can find out more. Call 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Perfectionism is poison. Hi, Kim Catola for Cradle My Heart Today. Secret anger at her imperfections left Lexi vulnerable when she was pregnant at 22. She feared the judgment of her peers and disappointing her parents. Abortion seemed like an easy answer. But when she became ill and needed hospitalization, she could no longer hide the reality of her pregnancy. And she was stunned by an outpouring of love. Lexi says harsh self-criticism is a red flag that pride has replaced a healthy self-image. Everyone makes mistakes. Every heart reflects both good and evil, moral and immoral thinking, loving and selfish traits. Today, Lexi says her son Jake is a gift from God, meant for her to share with the world. She says, love yourself despite your weakness, and then go share your gift. Find a network of Christ-centered organizations offering help for unplanned pregnancy at cradlemyheart.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
Hey, my name's Aaron Abbs. I am an undecided major, and I'm a freshman here at TME. And as soon as I came here, I fell in love with the campus. Like, I knew, like, God was calling me to be here at TME. And, you know, I couldn't get a better education than this. Like, professors who pray before class, who care about your spiritual walk with Christ. You are who you are, and they care about you.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
What do drag queens and children have in common? The answer to that question can be found in your local public library. It's called Drag Queen Story Hour, a chance for drag queens to read storybooks to small children. The program is spreading across the country from L.A. to New York City. The Brooklyn Public Library says it's a chance to tackle issues like the gender fluidity of childhood and to let kids know it's okay if their gender is fluid. They say it's also a way to promote diversity and inclusivity. So for the sake of inclusivity, I reached out to the local public library to find out if they'd ever invited a local minister to host a Bible story hour. The library spokeslady tells me they have not and would not because they don't advocate for one particular faith. I suppose inclusivity has its limits. By the way, Drag Queen Story Hour, paid for by your tax dollars. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
I'm glad it happened. I think Jim Comey, way back almost a year ago, kind of forgot he was the FBI director. And rather than stand up and tell the American people that the Attorney General wouldn't allow a grand jury investigation to actually do a thorough investigation of Hillary Clinton, which might have had the Democratic Party pull her back from being the nominee, which would have changed the whole outcome, possibly. Jim Comey danced with the devil, and later on down the road talked about this great investigation the FBI conducted because they had no subpoena power. They couldn't compel any testimony. They couldn't compel any investigation or search warrants, or they had to beg people to look at things. The interview of Hillary Clinton, in my view, was a sham. So he made a lot of mistakes. I think he's basically a good guy. He was lacking some common sense, and it's time for new leadership in the FBI. Yeah. And by going along with what he went along with, he threw the FBI under the bus and the reputation of the FBI under the bus. And that's what I am very mad about and have been very mad about for a long time. Well, I don't know what Jim Comey's told him, but from press reports, the deputy director, who I hope does not become the acting director, apparently, according to news reports, I guess they're true. I've never heard denials of them. The deputy director told the chief of staff at the White House months and months ago, quote, this whole thing about Russia is a bunch of BS. So, you know, what's going on here? I don't know. It defies logic.
That's the former deputy director of the FBI, James Carlstrom, talking to Martha McCollum last night on Fox. This is Sandy Rios in the morning. I think the thing to make is the FBI, of course, is charged with investigations, both domestic in terms of criminal, but also terrorism. And we're going to talk about a lot of other things with our next guest, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. But I do want to talk about the missteps of James Comey on terrorist investigations, because I think he might have an opinion. Tony is a retired U.S. Army Reserve Lieutenant Colonel. You have heard me talk to Tony before. You've seen him on television. He does great commentary. He's a counterterrorism expert. He wrote a book called Operation Dark Heart and The Last Line, which was the novel. And he joins us this morning. Tony, thanks for joining me.
Hey, Sandy, thanks for having me on. Good to be on.
Tony, I just was looking just at just a smattering of the terrorism cases that took place, investigations under Director Comey. And I'll just drop in a few just to get the conversation started, because I just would love to know what you think about how he handled things. The Tsarnaev brothers, you know, the Russians tried to warn us about them, and the FBI opted against investigating the Tsarnaev brothers, and those are the ones that did the Boston bombing. Of course, I think about the San Bernardino case, how they let that languish and how they let the wife go free for so long. I think about the Florida nightclub bombing, where they invited members of the local mosque to come in and sit with them while they did interviews with suspects. This all happened under Comey. Just your thoughts about all of that, Tony.
Well, look, I mean, this is one of the things that was notable, as you mentioned, the Tsarnaev brothers and then the Orlando shooting. The FBI had a catch-and-release program where they identified someone and then released them. And this was multiplied all over the place. And I would say clearly, because I've talked to folks on the inside, James Comey sacrificed the security of the American people for the sake of political correctness. That's just not pushed too hard. And let me be clear on this. I've had my own experience to try to deal with them. And for your audience to understand, I've actually been undercover with the FBI, working parallel and sometimes with them on issues. And yet I could not get them to pay attention to specific national security issues, which were right up, within the last 2 years. I mean, they wouldn't take the report. That's how bad it was. And it's gotten to the point where they were discredited, not because of their capabilities, not because of their technology or reach. It was because of their leadership. There's the old saying that, the fish rots from the head. And that's what was happening here. James Comey, and I don't agree with James Carlstrom. I like Mr. Carlstrom. I think he's a great guy, but no, I don't think James Comey was a good guy at all. I think he was a hack in an expensive suit, who, by the way, was essentially working behind the scenes to continue to implement this whole very flawed and dangerous political correct mentality. Combine that with a political ambition which was secret, but I think now discernible by his actions of supporting Hillary Clinton and the Democrats and what they were doing. So those two things together, I think it's far more necessary, Sandy, to pick out someone who is putting on the sheep's clothing and trying, a wolf in sheep's clothing, which is, I think, what he was, rather than someone who was overtly supportive of the other side. This guy was very dangerous.
I totally agree with you. And as we reflect on how the FBI has handled, terrorism was really kind of new to the FBI after 9/11. At least that wasn't their emphasis. They did more domestic crime, And so it was a whole new area. But under Mueller, who was brand new after 9/11, brand new on the job, they really developed a terrible policy on their relationships with the Muslim community, from my perspective. They did, they started this Muslim outreach, and they brought Muslims into the FBI. I was there, Tony, when I saw them bring their prayer rugs in and wear their hats and interrupt presentations from FBI agents with prayers. I mean, it became bizarre, and and then it led to, I think, a Benghazi. Just speak to that for a second, how the FBI handled Benghazi.
Well, look, the FBI had, I know for a fact, the FBI had a tactical away team I can't tell you the details, it's classified, but they do have the ability to put a forensics team, basically a team that would go in and do site survey and collection and collect evidence and secure it. They could put a team like that anywhere on the planet in less than 24 hours. That team, Sandy, was ready to go. It was down at Quantico, ready to roll out the door to go secure the Benghazi crime scene. They weren't permitted to go. And come to find out, there was a number of folks at the senior level, to include Comey, who just did not want that to happen. And it's really interesting that you have these multi-million dollar capabilities that you highly train people, and yet in the very instance that should have been used to secure what we know now is a crime scene, they're not used. We don't want to really secure a crime scene, especially if if someone on our side actually created the crime. So this is the grand irony of this whole thing. And again, this has all been kind of hidden in plain sight. And I would cite for you also some of the things that are going on behind the scenes regarding another tragedy, which was the Al-Awlaki investigation. As you may recall, Anwar Al-Awlaki was one of those guys who was essentially, before Comey was there, long before Comey was there, became an asset of the FBI in the 90s. And this guy kind of worked his way through, and we know for a fact now from FOIAs, from Judicial Watch, and Catherine Herridge's reporting over at Fox, this guy who ended up as an Al-Qaeda operative, who was eventually droned in Yemen, was an FBI asset. So somehow Comey didn't come clean on that and say, hey, we blew this. So the integrity, the honesty, the ability of the FBI to function was badly hampered by the Comey's complete focus on protecting the FBI and his reputation and caring nothing about the actual results they were delivering.
Hmm. All right, so I think it's safe to conclude, at least from our perspective, and I think informed perspective, the FBI has been drifting for quite a time, and it started under Mueller, and it's continued and gotten worse under Comey, and so I don't think either of us are sorry that he's gone. Now, here's the question, though, Tony, and I actually don't know where you stand on this. I don't know if we agree on all this. We don't have to. But there's conflict inside the White House and the national security teams. There's conflict on the issue of Islam, of identifying it as radical Islamic terror. There's conflict on the issue of declaring the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization. There's conflict over this whole approach to outreach to Muslims versus declaring what is and really understanding the enemy and fighting them properly. So how is that, from your perspective, going to translate to a new FBI director?
Excellent question. And no, you and I agree on, look, the Line of Service Policy Research, which I work with, and the vice president there, we're working hard right now to work with Congress to help the administration declare the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization. That's what they are. And simply put, we have to get past this political correctness, which is frankly a cancer within the bureaucracy. You've got to call the enemy for what the enemy is. And radical Islam is an enemy. So I'd like to believe, and I know what you're talking about regarding the White House and the internal discussion. And look, to me, it's not negotiable. President Trump has said what he thinks about it. I think anybody who works for President Trump needs to understand his policy perspective and accept it. And so I'd like to believe that whoever is selected will understand that radical Islam is a clear threat. It's been here. It's doing more. And frankly, if we don't deal with it directly, we're going to have a lot more problems. Look, John Kelly over at DHS, Secretary of Homeland Security, gets it. I know for a fact that he's stated this in his policy relating to his new focus of DHS. So if John Kelly can get it, whoever replaces Jim Comey darn well had better get it as well.
Tony, when I asked you to join me yesterday, it was before Comey was fired, and I wanted to talk to you about something that I discussed yesterday on the air because this is not the stuff of the workplace, because this is in the weeds Washington stuff, but it affects our national security, and that is that when Michael Flynn was fired or let go, whatever, in his place was General McMaster, placed head of NSC.
What
are the acronym is. And so my understanding from what I read, Eli Lilly did an interesting piece on this, is McMaster has come at odds with the president, certainly on even using the terms radical Islamic terror, and that he has become increasingly, according to Eli Lilly, more assertive of his own methods of fighting the war in Afghanistan, of addressing Islam. And so there was going to be a meeting yesterday between McMaster and Trump, and we didn't hear anything about that because of all the other things we're hearing. What do you know about that relationship and whether McMaster, his view is going to prevail? Not now, we'll get to Afghanistan in just a second, but even on the general issue of Islam and how to fight it.
Two points. Yeah, look, Eli Lake's reporting is accurate from what I understand. I can't comment much more than that. I know folks are working this issue behind the scenes. I know that for a fact. And regarding the will the McMaster point of view prevail or not, I don't believe so. McMaster is a, let me be clear on this, I don't want to say be insulting, but he's a tanker. He's a guy that drives tanks and shoots big guns. His inexperience dealing with national security issues is becoming apparent. He's worked the Middle East and primarily the Middle East only. So, if you're a carpenter, everything looks like a hammer and a nail. You know, it's one of those situations where I don't think he's actually qualified to the level necessary to be in that job. I think that inexperience sometimes results in going and looking at old solutions to new problems. And so he, you know, to go back down the path of putting 5,000 more troops in Afghanistan and hoping for the best, that's not a strategy. And my friend and mentor, Tony Zinni, said it's far more important about what mission you assign troops rather than what the number is. So the big issue in my judgment is, you need to pick someone who's going to seek to achieve victory, whatever that is, not to continue to do the same things over and over in the past which haven't worked. And that's what I've seen so far of the H.R. McMaster time at the NSC. It's kind of, let's try it all one more time and see and hope for the best. We have to have people who innovate, who understand the issues, and Sandy, to break from the past 10, 15, 20 years to get us back into the mode of winning wars and ending them, not continuing to draw them out. And that's what some of the conflict is about right now.
Well, and again, before Comey was fired yesterday, this was building to be the big news story. And that is that there were McMaster and others inside the White House are pushing to beef up efforts in Afghanistan, whether it be troops, money, I'm not sure. And we're just, it's coming on the heels of, you know, these special forces guys being, was it 20 Marines killed last week? I think it's something like that. And then two special ops guys killed just in the last few days. And a friendly fire, I mean, I don't even know the details of these things, Tony. It's like their lives do matter. But we've got such a massive information and people are not just stopping. Or average Americans don't have a chance to just stop and ponder the cost of what we're doing.
I think these kids sign up to win wars. They don't sign up to become kind of casualties to be, you know, reported on the evening news. So, no, we've got to get in our mind, Sandy, that we need to get back and win these things, not sit back and just kind of let this happen. And remember, we've been in Afghanistan for 13 years, and yet we have yet to actually achieve the victory that we start. We actually had a victory in 03-04. We let it go. So we've got to figure out a way to get back to that, and I just don't think the way McMaster's pushing this is going to get us there.
Well, if you were, let's say they tapped you, and you're going to be in charge of this war in Afghanistan, would you really want to go back in there? And if you did, what would a win look like?
Oh, two things. No, first off, you deal with Pakistan. You make it very clear because, Sandy, let me tell you why we have not won in Afghanistan, because we have refused to go into Pakistan. We've only done it once, the bin Laden raid, to go into where the Taliban is actually sitting. They're sitting in Afghanistan and destabilizing Afghanistan. So I've talked about this in Darkhar. You mentioned Darkhar. We need to have a Northern Ireland peace process. The Irish Republican Army continued to be successful in Northern Ireland until the Irish Republic told them stop. Well, the Irish Republic in this case is Pakistan. So you deal with that, you stop that, and then you push towards reconciliation. It's like, look, we don't care what government you have as long as it's a government which will ensure that we're not attacked. We don't have to dictate to them that they have a Jeffersonian democracy. It's just you need to make sure they can't create conditions for terrorists to train. That's it. That's all we should do. And it doesn't require a lot of troops to do that. It requires political will and understanding how to do this sort of things. So that's the victory, is preventing them from attacking us ever again and letting them go off on their own.
There is no time to really talk about this at length, but Petraeus, I can't even think of the name of it, the kind of warfare he established, it was his big idea about how to work with the Afghans.
Counterinsurgency, nation building.
wearing turbans and acting like turning a blind eye to child rape within the barracks.
Right, precisely. No, you can't do that. I mean, you need to hold up to our values on that end. You cannot accept their values, or else you've undermined your very purpose for being there. So.
All right, so one last thing. I'm really concerned about this and have been for a long time. The rules of engagement under Obama's army were horrible, made our guys sitting ducks. Has anything changed on the battlefield in regard to that?
Well, the rules of engagement are always something that's very sensitive. But my understanding is obviously things have started to change. And the idea here is that you do not have to wait till you're basically bleeding before you can respond. General Joe Dunford, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, is a great leader. You got Jim Mattis over there. General Mattis is the Secretary of Defense. Trust me, things are going to change over there. Maybe not as quickly as some would like, but things are changing, and I think that the changes are going to be much for the better. So,
all right. So you're okay. Then you sound optimistic, Tony, this morning. More optimistic.
Well, I do. I know these guys. So, look, I trust Joe Dunford. I think he's going to be—he's an amazing chairman. He's done well, very well, despite the first year being under President Obama. And I think General Mattis is going to give him all the leeway he needs to be a successful chairman of the Joint Chiefs. And I see Joe Votel, the commander of Central Command, is very aggressive. Tony Thomas, the commander of SOCOM, another aggressive general. Mark Milley, the chief of staff of the Army. These men, Sandy, all have the idea of how to actually fix the defense establishment. They just got to have the time and space to do it. So I think President Trump's got a great defense team, and you just got to let them do their job and make a few adjustments, too, in the meantime.
All right. So if McMaster is not, in your view, the right person for National Security Advisor, and I think most of us that are reading about this would agree with you, I know there was a conversation with John Bolton just last week. What would you think if I don't even know if you can give a name? Is there someone that comes to your mind that you think you'd like to see in that position?
The honest answer is I think a bunch of us are behind the scenes thinking about that very question right now. Who would be optimal? And I don't have an answer at this point. I was in discussions over the past few days on that issue, and I think there'll be more coming up next couple weeks. But no, clearly that's an issue, and it's a very, Susan Rice should never have been in that position when she was, that person in that position touches everything in national security. That's everything from foreign counterintelligence, what the FBI does, all the way up to national security stuff, and frankly, space issues and things like Strategic Defense Initiative and all this sort of thing. So that person has to have a vast understanding and a somewhat detailed understanding of all these very complex issues. And again, I don't mean to demean General McMaster. I just don't think he was equipped to deal with the issues he's now looking at. I think he needs someone who's a broader, one of my dear friends is Bud McFarland. And Bud and I have had some great conversations about when he was National Security Advisor to President Reagan. So trust me, I have some inside understanding of what that job entails. And you need to have someone who has an ability to both learn, adapt, and figure out things on the fly and be very, very effective. And that's who needs to be selected.
All right. Well, we'll hope and pray for that. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, author of Operation Dark Heart. Tony, thank you so much for your time this morning. And thank you for your service, as always.
Sure thing.
All right, talk to you soon. All right, well, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to come back to the James Comey situation. There's just lots of things happening. I think there's going to be a meeting in the Senate this morning. Of course, the Democratic senators it took them an hour to come out with their party line, which is that this was Trump fired James Comey because Comey was investigating him for his ties to Russia, his cooperation with Russia. That's the line, the official line. We'll talk about that when we return. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. In the weeks following her father's inauguration, Ivanka Trump secretly met with Planned Parenthood's president to strategize on abortion. Ivanka suggested Planned Parenthood break into two groups, one that didn't perform abortions and one that did, to protect the $500 million a year they get from the taxpayers. Planned Parenthood thought Ivanka's advice was naive, failing to understand how central abortion is to their business. Can we finally stop the charade that Planned Parenthood does more than abortion?
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Everybody has their own taste in coffee, and it's got to be just the way they like it. As the weather warms to the heat of summer, American Family Coffee's Joy Blend is bringing the feel of tropical island breezes to my kitchen. With the flavor of the Caribbean's smooth notes of luscious cocoa and finishing with a buttery aftertaste. If you haven't tried it yet, it's available at afastore.net. That's Joy from American Family Coffee at afastore.net.
The financial world certainly can be intimidating, and our livelihood, of course, depends upon it. But God is in control of all things. Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. I take your calls every day and give you answers from a biblical perspective and break down the day's financial numbers to help keep you informed. Financial Issues every weekday morning at 8 o'clock Central Time and Saturday mornings, 10 o'clock Central Time on American Family Radio.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms in association with American Family Studios introduces Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrady's. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at ryansecretagent.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. President Trump did the right thing yesterday in firing FBI Director James Comey, if only for reasons that have yet to be cited. Think of it as swamp draining. Specifically, Mr. Comey and his senior management team, which should also be replaced as soon as possible, have long been malfeasant with respect to the most serious internal threat we face as a nation, namely, the array of Sharia supremacists seeking the destruction of our country. Like his predecessor, Director Comey has serially acceded to Muslim Brotherhood demands that his agents ignore the danger posed by Islam's anti-constitutional totalitarian doctrine. As a result, Sharia's adherents have been treated as no danger until they engage in jihadist violence, and then dismissed as individual lone wolves. The facts, not submission to Islamists cloaked as political correctness, must guide the next FBI director and the Bureau. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
We're all disturbed, first of all, by the letter, which really broke precedent, was over the advice of the leaders in the Justice Department. I'm not challenging Mr. Comey's motivation, but I do think it was unwarranted. It was a mistake.
He's got a big burden of proof, so to speak, on him for why he did what seems to be such an appalling act that goes against the tradition of prosecutors at every level of government. It was, when I heard about it, I found it hard to believe that Comey, who I thought had some degree of integrity, would do this.
I think he made a mistake on this, and he clearly has a double standard. And these jobs, if you're not in it for a while, you can't take the heat. And I think he just couldn't take the heat from the Republicans.
Well, you recognize those voices, I'm sure. It was Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi. I'm not sure what the first one was because my mind was wandering. But the point is that these were Democrats who thought that Comey was terrible. They were so upset with him when he came out and said he was that he was opening the investigation into Clinton's email again. And then when he enumerated all the ways that she'd been careless, he said, those were his words, handling her email. And then he claimed that no reasonable prosecutor would bring charges. It was just bizarre, bizarre. And, of course, then they did not like Comey. Now they are all up in arms because within an hour of FBI Director Comey being fired, Chuck Schumer was at the podium talking about this is a cover-up. This is like the Saturday Night Massacre of Richard Nixon when he fired the chief investigator into the Watergate hearings. And that this is the reason that Trump is doing this is because of the investigation into the Trump ties with Russia. Well, could I just say, you know, even the Rolling Stone, which is, you know, kind of not conservative, did an expose on the ridiculousness of this whole notion that Russia was responsible for Hillary Clinton's loss and that somehow they affected and worked with Trump, colluded with Trump in order for him to win this election. It's actually a pretty good piece, which, you know, it's always filled with stuff you don't want to read. But even Rolling Stone, probably 6 months ago, did that piece. It really has become ridiculous. And all I can say is, if there was collusion, let's see the evidence. For heaven's sake, let Senator Grassley, you know, gavel his public meeting to a close, go into private session. Let's find out what the Washington Post knows. Why, if the information, again, about General Flynn is so damning, his conversation with Kislyak, the Russian ambassador, then why don't we know it? They have the transcripts. They have the tape. Meaning the Washington Post, Politico. Why don't, if it's so bad, why don't we know it? Well, the problem is if they release it, it seems to me, it's going to prove that they are just flapping their jaws about nothing. So now they're going to be demanding a special prosecutor. I think they're meeting this morning. I don't exactly know how that meeting's going to come down, but my understanding is that Schumer is saying there's going to be some big meeting this morning, and they're going to be trying to make this out as Donald Trump dismissing Comey because he's investigating Donald Trump with his affiliation with the Russians. And that'll play, you know, because it'll be repeated a million times by CNN, ABC, NBC. They will repeat it. People will not hear what I'm talking to you about. They won't hear the full story. They'll only know bits of it. They're not informed, and so it will work that Donald Trump has somehow gotten rid of Comey because Comey was investigating him. But the truth is, of course, there are an FBI director doesn't personally investigate anything. He's got teams of people. The investigation, if there is such a thing, and if there is any there beyond that fake dossier that the FBI allegedly paid this British agent to gather, this fake dossier, and that was the basis upon which Comey allegedly was moving ahead with this investigation, that in itself is bizarre, and that hasn't even come up this morning. Then the investigation on whatever they have will continue without Comey. So it's just very interesting. Joe DeGeneva, Joe is a long time, well, he's retired now, but he was a long time prosecutor from New York. Joe is a real, I like Joe a lot. Joe and his wife, Victoria Tensing, I've known for a number of years. I know Victoria better than I know Joe. Joe's very salty, and he has very strong opinions about this, and I want you to hear what he had to say last night. Let's listen.
He was the FBI director, and he acted like he was the attorney general, even the president of the United States. He violated every known rule of the Department of Justice about how an investigator is supposed to conduct himself. And for that, he usurped the powers of the attorney general on July 5th, 2016. And from there on in, he was no longer able to lead the FBI. And his testimony last week before the Senate was viewed by many as so bizarre, so self-indulgent, so self-righteous, that many people believed he had really lost it and could no longer effectively function as the leader of the FBI, and they were absolutely correct. He interjected himself because he wanted to be a hero. He wanted this to be about James Comey. He wanted to save Hillary Clinton's candidacy, and that's exactly why he did it. He did it for political and self-aggrandizement reasons.
All right, so one thing you'll have to keep in mind as you're watching the news today, because you're going to see Chuck Schumer and the other Democrats coming out, you know, talking about how horrible this is and how this is a cover-up. And you're just going to have to hopefully be able to make the case to your friends and neighbors that the investigation, whatever they have, is going forward. It hasn't changed anything. It's just that, you know, in the FBI, I think maybe sometimes because we've become such a dishonest people, dishonesty has become so common among our politicians and our news media that we've forgotten that your word and your honesty still is very important. And I have to say, in the FBI, that's still the case. If an agent lies about anything, anything, how they use their bureau car, how they spend their money, they are fired. You are fired if you lie about anything. Truth is still highly treasured in the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And so James Comey just was all over the map, not clear enough, not honest enough, and not precise enough, if for no other reason he needed to be gone. You know, I was just, we did retrace some of this, but I want to go back. There were so many badly handled things under James Comey. I just want to drive this home. This is an article by Grabian, and we'll put this on our Facebook page because I think it's worth reviewing. It's 10 major FBI scandals on Comey's watch. Again, I'm repeating some of this. Tamerlan Tsarnaev, the Boston bomber, the brother, Russia warned the Obama administration twice that they needed to investigate him, that he was a terrorist, and the FBI opted out under Comey. No, we've done enough. Then the FBI, and I'd forgotten about this, had possession of emails sent by Nidal Hassan, the Fort Hood shooter, the murderer, the doctor who turned on his own soldiers. They had email. The FBI had email sent by Nidal Hassan saying that he wanted to kill his fellow soldiers to protect the Taliban. But the FBI did nothing under Comey. They did nothing. And 31 Americans were killed at Fort Hood. During the Obama administration, the FBI claimed that two private jets, this is different, but still, it's unacceptable. The FBI claimed that two private jets were being used primarily for counterterrorism. But they weren't. They were, in fact, being used by Eric Holder and Robert Mueller for business and personal travel. Total lies. The issue with the Apple, the stand down with Apple, the FBI demanded that Apple create a back door that would allow law enforcement agencies to unlock the cell phones of various suspects. Well, and later they had to backtrack that. They finally were able to crack it. And analysts would say that the FBI director, Comey, spoke out, put his neck out too soon, should have been more careful, and really mishandled that issue. Now, I'm not an expert on that, but that's what experts are saying. This is really egregious. In 2015, those of you in Texas may remember that the FBI conducted a controversial raid on a Texas political meeting. I don't know who that was. A fingerprinting, photographing, and seizing phones from attendees. And some in the group believed in horror of horrors, restoring Texas as an independent constitutional republic. So the FBI went in there and conducted a raid. This was under Comey. And then, of course, this, under Comey, when they were investigating Mrs. Clinton's mishandling of classified material, the FBI, under Comey, made a deal with Cheryl Mills, and I forgot the other aide's name. They were given immunity and allowed to destroy their laptops. Do you remember that? That was under Comey. They were allowed to destroy their laptops. It's unbelievable. So don't cry for me, Argentina. I'm not crying for Director Comey. He has brought disgrace upon the FBI. He's put the nation in danger, and he needs to be gone. I just hope that the Trump administration will take this further, take this opportunity to do what they need to do, to purge who they need to purge, and let's get this ship set aright. Half measures won't do. And so that was certainly not a half measure, firing Comey. So fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be interesting. All right, as always, these things we need to ask God for wisdom as we listen to them. We need to pray for Comey and his family because I'm sure it's not easy for them today. And just pray that lessons will be learned as they have to be in each of our lives. All right, Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.